How's everyone doing this morning? Good. You guys are the faithful bunch as we gather together here this Memorial Day weekend. I know a lot of us are out of town and on vacation. I was on vacation. I actually drove back down last night to preach this message to you guys this morning. And then I'll be making my way back to my vacation. So I hope you guys really enjoy this message today, because we're starting a brand new series. I actually decided to start it this weekend, entitled Tension. How many of you have some tension in your life right now? Yeah, you have some tension, some good tension, bad tension. I mean, when we look at tension, a lot of us seem to look at it through a negative perception. We just say, oh, I just want to be free from tension. I don't want tension in my life. I have a tension headache. And tension is used in such a negative way. But for the next 4 weeks, I want to teach you on how to use the tension in your life to actually work for you. You see, this morning, we're going to get the real truth about tension and how God uses tension in our lives to develop us, to put us into this position of greatness and blessing. But today I'm going to just teach you guys on unwanted tension. How many of you have unwanted tension? And what I mean by that is that a lot of you have tension in your life. You're tense because of certain choices you've made. A lot of us have tension in our lives that the Lord never intended for us to even have. So today we're going to really just get down to this whole deal with tension and really be blessed. Because I promise you, after these 4 weeks, I'm not going to tell you that you'll never have tension again, because I'd be lying. But I will promise you this. I promise you that after this series, if you apply everything that is taught, when tension comes your way, you will no longer have this idea that it's going to bring you down, affect you, but tension can actually be used to make you greater. How many of you want to be blessed by this message today? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you, Lord, for the word that we're about to receive. I just pray, God, that today you would bless us with your message. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we're going to go to the book of Kings. And we're going to talk about this man that had tension in his life. In 1 Kings chapter 22, beginning at verse 29. And I want to explain to you what's going on, because this king, Ahab, was a powerful king who wanted to fight against this vast army. He thought that if I just go to war with these people, and if I win this battle, I can really just be blessed, and then life would be so much better. So in those days, what you would do before you went off to war is you would seek a man of God, a prophet, and you would ask him, should I go to war? This was a common practice. Should I go to war or not? This man goes to this man of God, and he says, should I go to war with these people or not? And this man said, absolutely not. Do not do it. Don't go to war. If you mess with these people, you're going to suffer. It's not going to end well with you. But this man said to himself, you know what? I don't like the advice you're giving me. Let's be honest. How many of you have ever been in this position where you don't like the advice someone is giving you? You know, we're all there. So this man is seeking this advice, and he says, what should I do? Now, why do we ask for advice if we're not going to like the advice we get? You know, he's asking for advice, and this man of God says, look, I prayed, and the Lord has shown me you cannot go to war with these people because it's not going to end well. But you know what he did? Ahab got mad at this man. He sent him to prison, and he went to war anyway. So let's continue with this story, and we can see what happens here. In 1 Kings chapter 22, beginning at verse 29, the Bible says, so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, another king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I'm going to enter this battle. Notice the pride. He says, I'm going to enter this battle in disguise. But you wear your royal robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and he went into battle. He did not listen to the advice, and the best thing he thought of was, I'm going to go into this battle, but I'm going to just be undercover. I'm going to wear this disguise. Now the king of Aram had ordered his 32 chariot commanders, "Do not fight with anyone small or great except the king of Israel." When the chariot commanders saw Jehoshaphat, they thought, "Surely this is the king of Israel." So they turned to attack him. But when Jehoshaphat, he cried out, the chariot commander saw that he was not the king of Israel, and he stopped pursuing him. But notice this craziness. Someone drew his bow at random, and the king of Israel, between the section of his armor, the king told his chariot drivers, "Wheel around and get me out of this fight, for I have been wounded." The story goes that he ends up dying. I want to talk to you guys this morning briefly on a subject that I've titled Between the Armor. Can we all just say that? Between the Armor. Between the Armor. See, this is what really grabbed my attention as I read this passage of scripture, this story. Because this man, he goes into battle, he disobeys God, and he does what he wants, and he goes into this battle in disguise. And after a while, this random soldier just gets an arrow, pulls it back, launches that arrow into the crowd. And of all the people in that crowd, of all the soldiers in that battle, that arrow happened to hit the disobedient king in the one section of his body that was not protected by armor. How many of you think this was a coincidence? Absolutely not. See, this was God saying that you cannot hide from me. And if you live a life of rebellion, if you live a life of disobedience, if you cross the line that I have marked, it will wound you. Notice what this man said. I have been wounded. I have been wounded. And what he says after just blew me away. He tells everyone, I've been wounded. Get me out of this fight. This is a lot of what I see as a pastor. A lot of people, they cross the line with God. They live rebellious lives. They disobey his word. They do what they want anyway. And after life has wounded them, after their choices has caused their consequence, and after they have wounded themselves, they've wounded their families, they've wounded their loved ones, they're living with hurt, they're living with pain, only then do they say, get me out of this. Get me out of this fight. When I read that, I thought to myself, this man is literally saying, get me out of a fight that he should not have been in the first place. Am I preaching to someone today? Because a lot of people are saying, well, God, get me out of this. God, get me out of this battle. God, get me out of this problem. But what if God is looking at you right now and saying, listen, you want me to get you out of something you should not have been in the first place. This is what this man of God told him. Don't go into battle. Don't do this. Don't cross the line. But after he did, is when this man was wounded and begging someone to get him out of this fight. And I felt the Lord impress in my heart to tell you guys, some of you are fighting today things you should never have been in a fight with. Some of you are fighting habits and addictions and people and problems you should not even been in fight with in the first place. See, God has made it clear that in his word, disobedience will bring tension into your life. Unwanted tension. Unwanted tension is simply tension you could have avoided had you simply listened to the counsel of God. Let me give you an analogy about this. It happened to me just Friday. I was diving. I love diving. I've been doing it for almost 20 years. Never had a problem. Ever. Never had a problem. Did you know that I love to dive, but I scuba dive most of the time alone? It's not a good thing. But I mostly dive alone. Friday was probably the first time in a long time I actually was diving with a partner. And I almost killed him. I don't know why I'm laughing about that, but this is what happened. We go under, and we're in pretty deep, about 60, 70 feet under. And when you're down that depth, you don't really have a sense of direction. You don't know, oh, my boat is this way, my boat is that way. You just get lost real easy. So every diver has a compass. I had my compass with me, and that compass has a line. It has this red line right in the middle. And as long as I keep that line straight, as long as I keep that line in the position it's supposed to be in, I will not get lost. Impossible. As long as I look at my gauge and I see that I'm aligned with the line, I'm fine. But here's what happened. I got distracted. I saw this really nice fish. I did. I got distracted. I followed him a little. And as I'm looking at my gauge, I'm noticing that the line is being crossed. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I can just go a little more and a little more. And as I'm crossing this line, by the time I looked at my gauge, I had so crossed the line in my gauge, in my compass, that when I surfaced, my boat was far. When I tell you far, it was impossible to swim back to it. So your pastor is in the middle of the ocean, caught in this current with my dive partner who trusted me, and our boat is way far. So as I'm floating there, I want to blame the compass. I did. But then I thought to myself, no, you know what? It was telling me to stay in line. So the craziest thing happened. This marine patrol happened to be going by. He sees me just floating there in the middle of the ocean. He comes up to me in his boat. He doesn't say, are you okay? He doesn't say, hi, how are you? He looks at me and he asks me this profound question. I said, man, this is perfect for Sunday's message. He asked me, how did you get this far? How did you get this far? And I just went, my compass. It's just... I want to ask you this question. Because when I look at the lives of so many people, it's almost like God is asking you this morning, I want you to look at your spiritual gauges. I want you to look at your life and ask yourself, how did I get so far? How did I end up at this point? For anyone that has just strayed away, for anyone that has been wounded by their decisions, for anyone that has lost family, for anyone that has made terrible mistakes and regret, look at your compass, look at your life gauge, and ask yourself, how did I get this far? Here's the answer to that question every time. Somewhere in your life, there was a point where you knew the line, and you saw the line, and you knew you couldn't cross the line. But somewhere in your life, you said, like me, I'm just going to cross it this time. I'm just going to cross it a little bit. And before you know it, the line was crossed so far, so much, that it just took you adrift. And now you're in a position with so much tension and so much problems and so much adversity, because when you look at your gauge, when you look at your life, and when you look at the line that is drawn by the Word of God, you can realize where you went off course. What was it that got you to cross the line?
Because if there's anything that Satan wants, it's for us to cross the line. He wants you to say, just this time, just a little bit, just drift a little bit, just take it easy. And before you know it, when it's too late, you're asking yourself, how did I get this far? And can someone get me out? There are so many people in the church today that are just crossing the line. And they're living lives of rebellion and disobedience. And when they look at their lives and they look at the wounds and they look at the hurt and they look at the pain, they realize, I crossed the line and I hurt myself. I hurt my family. I hurt my loved ones. I hurt my life. I hurt my dreams. I wounded my potential. How did I get this far? What a picture of Ahab. Ahab was a man of God who the line was drawn, and they said, do not cross this line. Do not go to war with these people. There was the line. He had the compass drawn, but something inside him said, I can do it anyway. I can cross the line anyway. And as he just disobeyed and he went to war and he crossed the line, he realized it was too late. And as that arrow pierced him between the armor, and he's wounded, he's asking someone to get him out. Get me out of this fight. If we'll be honest with ourselves, your choices, your stubbornness, your rebellion to cross the line would only leave you wounded and begging for someone to get you out of this fight. And what's so sad for me is to see so many people in a fight they should never have been in. Wounded, and how everything could have been so different, how life could have been so different had they stayed the course, had they just said, I'm going to stay the course in God's word. A lot of us enter fights we don't belong in. And we pray to God, get me out, get me out, get me out. For example, we pray to God, get me out of debt. You ever prayed this before? You shouldn't be in debt in the first place. But you're saying, God, get me out of this fight. I should not have been in the first place. But somewhere down the line, you crossed the line because you couldn't stop swiping. And you're living outside of your means. You're buying things you shouldn't buy. You know you can't afford. And you just keep swiping and swiping, saying, I'm going to pay it later. I'll pay it off. I'll use this card to pay that card. Come on, people. You know what I'm talking about. And then before you know it, you're in such severe debt. You're fighting financial stress and tension. Now you're financially tensed. And you're telling God, please get me out of this debt. When you're really praying to God, get me out of this debt, what you're really asking God is to somehow put this envelope of money in your mailbox, right? But see, when you say, God, get me out of this debt, what you should really be praying is, Lord, help me have the discipline not to get in debt anymore in the first place. Help me to live within my means. Help me to tithe. Help me to be obedient to your word and stay the course. And before you know it, you pay everything off and you're financially free and the tension is gone. That's what happens when you say, I'm going to stay the course. I don't care how nice the shoes are, what sale they have, what BOGO it is. Listen, stay the course. If that's your fight, if you're in financially tensed right now, ask yourself, how did I get that far? A lot of people have relational tension. Can I get an amen for that one? Relational tension. There's people in your life that are giving you such tension. You say, I'm just tired of them and I can't take them anymore. And can I tell you something? There's some fights we have with people we shouldn't even be with in the first place. You know, I thought about, for example, Jonah, a great man of God. He went inside this boat with a bunch of people. Mind you, Jonah was living rebellious. He was off course himself. He crossed the line. And as he's on this ship, this huge, massive storm comes because God sent the storm to get Jonah. But here's the problem. The people that let Jonah in are also in the storm. Why do so many people have storms in their lives? Because they let the wrong people in their ship. And all of a sudden, they're in this storm, they can't figure it out, and they begin to throw cargo overboard, thinking that's the problem. You know, with the wrong people in your life are going to cost you the wrong things. You're going to lose things you should never have lost. They should never have lost that cargo, but they wanted to keep Jonah anyway. Some of you said, I love Jonah, I want to keep Jonah. Okay, keep Jonah, lose your ship. Go ahead. There comes a point that the tension was so severe that they threw Jonah overboard and God took care of him. And the storm was calm. And maybe the Lord is telling you today, you have that tension in your life and you have that, and you're in this battle with that person because that person does not belong in your life. Let them go. That is unwanted tension. So you have financial tension, we have relational tension, and we're just saying, God, I just want you to bless my life, bless my relationships, bless my marriage. And Lord, what you're really telling God is, God, just change my spouse. Just change them. But the truth is, God can only fix a marriage when that marriage is in a position where they want to work. It takes work. Staying on course. Whatever tension you have in your life, whether financial, whether relational, whether spiritual, there's a lot of spiritual tension where a lot of people can't find the joy they have in the Lord anymore. They have no peace of God anymore. They're living with stress. They're living with anxiety. They're living with so much spiritual tension because they're simply living lives of disobedience. Here's what I love about Ahab. As he has all this tension in his life, unwanted tension, because he's just could not stay on course. Rather than making it right, rather than repenting and turning to God, you would think he would say, well, God, I crossed the line, I got off course, I didn't stay the right direction, Lord, and obviously, God, I messed up, I repent, Lord, get me out of this battle. He decides, I'm just going to wear a disguise. I'm just going to hide myself. Can I tell you that this is what a lot of us do? Rather than fix the problems in our lives, we decide just to hide them. Rather than fixing the issues that you have, you decide to cover it. And we just pretend to be someone else. And this is not only dangerous and reckless, but this is the fastest way, like Ahab, to get wounded, to get hurt. There's so many people that are just living lives that are they're just pretending to be someone they're not. They're trying to cover the truth of who they really are. You have the married couple that's at each other's throat and fighting, and rather than fix it, they say, we're just going to pretend to be in love. You have the one guy or the one girl that spiritually is weak and spiritually feeble right now, and they're saying, I'm just not strong in the Lord anymore, and I don't pray anymore, I don't worship anymore, I really have no joy in church anymore. And rather than come to that place where they say, why, and let me fix it and get back to where I used to be with God, they just decide to pretend to be holy, pretend to be spiritual, pretend to be strong in the Lord. So what do? You smile, you hold your Bible, you sing loud during worship, you say Christian words, and everyone says, wow, they're so strong in the Lord. But the worst thing is for that person to know that deep down inside, who people think I am, I'm not. Like Ahab, they say, I'm not going to fix the problem, I'm just going to hide. I'm going to hide the truth of what battle I'm in. A lot of us are hiding and no one knows the battle that you really have right now in your life. And rather than fixing it and saying, God, would you help me? God, would I just ask you to just help me with this problem and get me out of this. You're just saying, I might as well just hide it. I might as well just cover it up. And no one that's ever covered up themselves and live in this disguise has ever been delivered. No one in Scripture. And I want to tell you that this is why so many people have tension in their life. Because you refuse to get right with God. You've refused to fix the real problem. And you just decide to live in disguise. I'm just going to pretend to be happy when I'm depressed. I'm going to pretend to be spiritual when I'm sinful. I'm going to pretend to be loving when I'm vengeful. It's better to wear a smile with a broken heart than to fix a heart for some people. So the reality is of all this is that Ahab is in a position where he says, I know I shouldn't be here in this battle. For anyone that's living off course, let me tell you, it's never a surprise when you tell someone you're living wrong. You're living off course. You've crossed the line. No one will ever say, I didn't know that. Anyone that's living off course knows they're off course. Can I get an amen on that? No one says, I didn't know. I didn't know I was off course. It just hit me. So he says, I'm just going to wear a disguise. And that is the most stressful thing you could ever do. Is live false pretenses and saying, I'm just going to pretend. I'm going to pretend to be happy. I'm going to pretend to be spiritual. I'm going to pretend to be loving. I'm going to pretend just to have joy. I'm just going to pretend. And deep down inside, you're struggling with depression. You're struggling with addiction. You're struggling with just all this strife and anger and bitterness. You're just struggling. And every Sunday, you just put on the disguise. I think this series, the disguise is going to come off once and for all. Because God doesn't want you living in disguise. It never works. Consider Adam. Because Satan loves for you to stay undercover. You know that if you're pretending to be someone you're not, if you're pretending to just be who people want you to be, Satan loves that. He loves it. Because consider this, look at Adam. When Adam fell into sin, the first reaction him and his wife had, let's go into hiding. They did not run to God. They ran from Him in hiding. Every time you live in hiding, you're running from God. And when God was looking for them and searching for them and calling out to them, it wasn't to destroy them, but to restore them. But no one could ever find the restoration of God if they remain hiding and undercover and disguised. You keep living a life that is fake and pretending, and God can do nothing with you. It was there that the devil began to whisper into Adam and Eve's ear. Because when God called them out, God says, where are you? He said, I'm here, God. I was naked. I was afraid. And God said, who told you you were naked? It wasn't me. In other words, when you live in hiding, Satan's voice gets louder and begins to whisper to you shame and guilt and regret. And the only time that Adam and Eve found restoration for their personal lives, for their spiritual lives, and for their marriage was when they got out of hiding and into God. Consider Jacob, a man who literally disguised himself as his brother to be blessed. Let me just tell you something. It must have been so terrible for Jacob to know that his father only loved him and only blessed him because he thought he was someone else. And many of us pretend to be someone we're not, just to get someone else to accept us, to get someone else to love us. And we live with this tension because we know this person is only with me because they think I'm that person. And they don't know who I really am. So Jacob pretended to be his brother Esau to get blessed, knowing that as long as he stayed Jacob, he could never have been blessed. So he lived undercover. And when God got a hold of him, the first question he asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." In other words, God was saying, "Who are you? Who are you really?" And when he said, "My name is Jacob," he was telling God, "I'm a liar. I'm a deceiver. I've hurt my family. I'm not who people think that I am." And you know what's interesting about this? God grabbed him and blessed him. Because God can bless a person that is real with him versus someone that's just going to live like Ahab, under disguise, living in the battle, in tension, and saying, "I'm just going to hide." See, God blessed Jacob, and Jacob thought he needed to be Esau to get blessed. Stop trying to pretend to be someone you're not and be the person God has called you to be, and maybe you won't have so much tension in your life. So when you look at this, a lot of people lived undercover and under tension. Because as long as you keep pretending, as long as you just keep living off course and crossing the line and not repenting and turning back to God, tension will always be your best friend. Naaman was a man who everyone looked at as an awesome, powerful warrior. He had this amazing suit of armor that he walked around everywhere. And everyone looked at Naaman and they said, "Man, what a man of God. Look at this man. He's so powerful. He's so strong." And everyone admired him. But when he got home, he took the armor off. And he was covered in leprosy. Is that not the story of your life? When you leave home, you put on your little pretty armor so that everyone looks at you and say, "Look how great they are. Look how nice they look. Look how amazing that person is." And you want the admiration of people. But when you get home and the armor comes off, who are you? Who are you at home? Who are you when the armor comes off, when no one's looking? What are you really struggling with? Naaman had so much tension because he knew people only like me for what they see on the outside. But if they knew who I am on the inside, no one would be my friend. That was until he ran and he prayed to God. And he went to Elijah and said, "I need your help because I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of pretending to be someone I'm not. I'm tired of having this inside of me when on the outside it's looking great, but on the inside it's terrible." God is not concerned with how you look on the outside. It's on the inside that's going to determine whether you live a life of peace, blessing, and victory. And Naaman simply prayed to God. He washed himself in the river that God told him to wash in. And the Bible says he was better than before. If you get back on course with God, you will be better than before. You say, "Pastor, that's impossible. You don't know the tension that I'm under because of my living in disobedience, my rebellion. You have no idea what I'm under because of my choices." You may be right about that. But God is not a liar. If you confess, He is faithful and just and will forgive your sins. That's what the Word of God says. And God can see through your disguise. And this is where the story gets interesting. As Ahab is living under his disguise, and he's in a fight he never should have been in, and he has all this tension in his life, out of nowhere, he feels something just pierce him. In the one area he was vulnerable, in the one area he was exposed, in the one area, the Bible says, the one section that did not have armor, that's where the arrow got him. When I read that, I couldn't help but think about how Satan works in our lives. Because the book of Ephesians says that Satan has these arrows that he throws at God's children. And the arrows hit us where we're vulnerable. The arrows hit us where we're exposed. Notice, the arrow did not hit the armor. Because if you're obedient to God and you put on the full armor of God, the arrows can't touch you. But it's when those areas that you haven't covered in your life, it's those sections that you're still struggling in, that's where Satan is targeting. Because I want to tell you something, how Satan works. Satan is not concerned where you're good. He's not. Satan is concerned with where you're weak, where you're vulnerable. And if we get real, because we're in church today, we ought to be honest. All of us here, I don't care how pretty you are, all of us have a little section that the armor doesn't touch. All of us here have our little section that God hasn't covered yet. And that's where the devil says, that's where they're weak. That's where I'll get them. That's where my arrow can pierce. So he had his armor on, he had his disguise on, he thought he can get away with it, and the arrow got him in his section, between the armor. All of us have the armor of God, but I really believe that in that armor there's a section that's between. That in-between section where you're kind of delivered, but you're not. That's the in-between. You all understand this? How many of you have a weak area in your life? All hands should be up. Little section. Verse 34, the Bible says, it was there someone drew his bow at random, the king of Israel, between the section of his armor. This is why there's so much tension in people's lives. Because Satan knows your section, where you hurt the most, where you're exposed. So many great men and women in the Bible had unwanted tension simply because Satan got them where they were most vulnerable, where they were weak. And I want to prove this point to you, because when you read 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9, we love this verse because Paul just encourages us. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9, Paul said, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, it was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of what?" Say it. Messenger of Satan. To torment me. And notice this. Three times I pleaded with God, "Lord, take this away from me." He's begging God, "Get me out of this." But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in what? Weakness." Where does Satan attack? His weakness. God says all of us have a weakness Satan is targeting. All of us have a weakness that Satan knows about. And God says in these areas of weakness, in the section between the armor, you have my grace and my power to overcome it. Just because you're weak doesn't mean you have to give in to it. Just because you're weak doesn't mean it has to kill you. So a lot of people in the Bible had a lot of unwanted tension because they put themselves in the position where the arrow could hit them. Can I preach to you this morning now? Are you guys ready? I'm going to close with these people. You consider David, great man of God. This guy killed lions, he killed bears, he slayed giants, he did everything. And the one area that he was weak in was lust and pride. And the Bible says he was on the roof one day. And Bathsheba just happened to be bathing. Coincidence? He knew what he was doing. I think she knew what she was doing too. And it was there that he looked at her. And his weakness was heating up. He slept with her. And the arrow got him. Because he had to have her. And there's so many men that the arrow of lust is piercing them. Because they're in rooftops they shouldn't be on top of anyway. Looking through windows they shouldn't be looking through anyway. And the arrow got him. As a result, it nearly destroyed his kingdom, his family, his life. Samson was a big, strong man. Everyone admired. He was a Fabio of the Old Testament, long flowing hair. Everyone looked up to him. But when I read the story of Samson in the context, what I see is that Samson was strong physically, but not emotionally. Have you ever been under so much pressure that everyone's looking up to you? Everyone is just seeking you for answers. Everyone is just saying, wow, Samson, you're the greatest. And you have a lot of people just depending on you. That was the pressure that Samson was under. He was the chosen one, the one that was going to set them free from the Philistines. He was living under a lot. And the Bible says that he fell because of a woman named Delilah. Now, here's where we get it wrong. We think that Samson's problem was lust. It wasn't. Because the Bible, it never said, like Bathsheba, like a lot of other women, the Bible never said Delilah was hot. Never. Never. The Bible never says she was beautiful. Oftentimes the Bible will tell you if a girl had it going on or not. Rachel, Bathsheba. I mean, the Bible said they were hot. Delilah, I'm not saying she's ugly, but I'm not saying she was hot, because the Bible didn't say it. The Bible didn't say it. So you're saying, Pastor, what's the point? Here's where Samson, you know what his section was? You know where the arrow got him? The Bible says he laid on her lap. All Samson wanted was someone to comfort him. Someone to be with. Someone to talk to. Someone to just lay on. Because I believe Samson was lonely. Satan knew that. And said, I'm going to put a woman in his life that's going to listen to him. I'm going to put a woman in his life that's going to sympathize with him. I'm going to put a woman in his life that's going to say, there, there, Samson, I understand. How do you think affairs happen? You're living under tension in your marriage and your Delilah comes and says, I would never do that. I would never be like your wife. A woman gives you attention, your wife doesn't. A man gives you attention that your husband doesn't. Gives you what you want. All of a sudden, you're in a lap of someone you don't belong with. and the tension is real, and the arrow gets you. Noah, great man of God. I mean, literally saved his family from a flood. Had a problem with alcohol. I know this because the Bible says he was butt naked and drunk. Passed out. So you can't tell me, oh, he was drinking a little bit. No, when you can't remember where your clothes went, you got a drinking problem. He had all this tension with his son, Ham. Cursed him because Ham was looking down at his father. It was a huge family drama and family tension. Unwanted tension because of Noah's substance problem. The arrow got him. Whereas Noah was strong in faith and loyalty, he was a great man of building arks and all of that. One section, alcohol. That's where the devil got him. Cain, great brother, great man of God, struggled with jealousy, section in his body. All the armor was on except this one section, jealousy. That's where the arrow got him. He saw his brother Abel. The Bible says that God told him, sin is at your door. Satan is pulling his bow back. He's getting ready to get you. If you just do what is right. He said, Cain, if you just stay on course, stay straight on the line, if you just follow the compass, you're not going to fall. But Cain got jealous because it was his weakness. And that's where the arrow got him. Peter, very weak, had a section, built a church, saved 2,000 people with one sermon, walked on water, great man of God. He had a problem with his attitude. That was his section. The arrow got him. What's your section? Why do you have unwanted tension in your life? It's because you've left this area in your life exposed where the arrow could hit him. If you simply avoid the areas where the arrow can get you, you will stay on course. You will walk the line, and Satan cannot touch you. So if you're saying, Pastor, I have a weakness, I have an area in my life that I know I'm vulnerable in. I know I'm vulnerable when it comes to my emotions. I know I'm vulnerable when it comes to loneliness. I know I'm vulnerable when it comes to substance. I know I'm vulnerable when it comes to just anger. I know I'm vulnerable when I'm with this person. I know I'm vulnerable when I'm in this area, in this section in my life. I know I'm vulnerable. If you know it, why are you there? So many people have unwanted tension because they simply refuse to do it God's way. And you find yourself like Ahab in a battle you should never have been in, asking God to get you out of a fight you should never have been in, wounded when you should not have been wounded in the first place. And he died. A lot of us are like pincushions. Satan is just all day at you, throwing arrows at you, to the point that you're saying, I'm in a battle. I'm in a fight. I'm losing my life. I'm losing my family. I'm losing my peace, my joy, my comfort. And I'll ask you one more time. How did you get so far? Where did you cross the line? Where was it that you just got distracted? That by the time you realized, you were too far to even get back on your own? Where I was sitting out there in the middle of the ocean with my dive partner. I just put my hands up where I knew my brother who was in the boat would see. Because when I dive, Danny stays on the boat, but he never takes his eyes off the water. You know that some of us are lost, off course, hopeless, fighting currents we should not have even been fighting. But God never takes his eyes off you. God sees you when you're struggling. God sees you when you're far. God sees you when you're hurted and wounded. And all God is waiting for is for you to just surrender with your hands up and say, Lord, come get me. Let's pray. Father, we have unwanted tension in our lives. And I pray for anyone that's off course right now. Well, as we begin this series, we just started now with the idea of this, that there's so much tension in our lives. There's so many arrows in between our sections where we haven't covered you. And there's arrows here, Lord, that have been pierced because of disobedience and being off course. But I thank you, God, that you never take your eyes off us. So for anyone that's in a battle they shouldn't even be in, for anyone that's fighting something they shouldn't not even begin to fight with, for anyone that's wounded and hurt, for anyone that says, I've crossed the line, I've gone too far, Father, I pray that today would be the day they come back and set us free from tension we shouldn't even have. Can we all stand to our feet? I pray for everyone here today. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to make this about you and God right now. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I've gone off course. I've crossed the line. It feels like I can't get back. I've given in to my weakness. I've been pierced. I'm wounded. I promise you this. The Bible says that Satan does target our weakness. But God says, my grace is sufficient for your times of weakness. God will give you the grace to overcome those sections in your life where the devil is targeting you. 3 times Paul pleaded, get this out of me. And God said, no. Your weakness may never be completely gone. You understand that? You may struggle with this for the rest of your life, but God said, I can give you the power to overcome it. Or even though the weakness won't go away, you can still overcome it in the name of Jesus and by the divine power of His grace. You no longer have to live your life pierced by the devil's arrows in between the sections where you're weak. Because God says, I have overcome this world. I have the grace and the power to help you through this. So if you're here today, I just want to pray the grace of God over your life right now. And you're saying, God, I need more grace. I need grace, Father, to overcome this right now because the arrow has me. What I love about the story of Ahab is when the arrow pierced him, someone came and picked him up. That's what the church does. That's what I'm doing for you right now. You may have come to this church with an arrow pierced in the section of your weakness. But you're in this church today because we want to pick you up. We want the God that we serve to heal you from the wounds of the arrows that the devil has just pierced you with. And for all the unwanted tension in your life, because of the lines if you've crossed, the Lord will forgive you when you turn back to Him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone here today who's weak, whose vulnerability has gotten the best of them, Pray for your grace, Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning saying, Pastor, pray for me. I need more grace in my life. Would you put your hand up where I can see him and say, Pastor, that's me. God bless you. You there. You, I see all the hands here. I want to pray for you right now. Wherever you're weak in, declare that the Lord is strong in. Because the Word of God says, where you are weak, He is strong. So confess to the Lord right now where you're weak. He's not going to be surprised by it. He's not going to be disappointed by it. He's going to know exactly what you're talking about. Just say, Lord, I'm weak. Fill in the blank. Just pray for the Lord to give you the grace to overcome. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, this Memorial Day weekend, Lord, we just come before you with our arrows that have pierced us. In that section where Satan knew where to hit us. He knew where we would strong. He knew where we would not fail. So Lord, Satan got us where he knew it would hurt. He got us where he just knew we would be vulnerable and weakened. But Father, no arrow in us can separate us from your love. So Holy Spirit, I pray for your grace upon this church now, for anyone listening online. May the grace of God be poured upon you now. As you seek his forgiveness. Father, forgive us for the lines that we've crossed. For we are wounded in our transgressions, but your word says that you heal the wounded. So I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would give us the grace to overcome our weakness. And for us to be the people you've called us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give God a shout of praise today if you've been blessed today.